The other night, a group of Jane Jacobs aficionados gathered at the White Horse Tavern to raise a glass to the famous urbanist. From a perch on a barstool here, Jacobs developed many of her ideas about the importance of public space in the life of a city. Her 1961 book, The Death and Life of Great American Cities, was a cri de coeur against modernist city planners who envisioned neat, peopleless streets in grand metropolises that reached up to the sky. In 1992, Jacobs wrote a prologue to her book. It expressed deep dismay that so few of her planning ideas had been adopted and called efforts to improve cities heartbreaking. At the White Horse Tavern, real estate journalist Lisa Chamberlain disagreed with that assessment.
This neighborhood might not exist. And so it's really tough to criticize somebody who, you know, is responsible for saving something that is a treasure.
Xinpei Tsai works for the Project for Public Spaces. She says what New Yorkers take as a given now wasn't always so.
In contrast to the city back in the 60s when she was really fighting anti-public space philosophy, I think we're really embracing life on the sidewalk and in the streets, despite all the luxury, high-end development going on.
You know, when you look at Washington Square Park, walking into it now.
Underneath the arch of Washington Square Park, Rick Bell, head of the New York chapter of the American Institute of Architects, argued that the physical city was also transformed by Jacobs. Her most famous accomplishment, perhaps, is stopping a proposed highway through this park.
We would be dodging cars right now, but for Jane Jacobs. And I think people in the village and in New York City and many other cities that learn from New York City are eternally grateful for that alone. If she did nothing else, you know, you say on Passover, if she did nothing else, that would have been enough.
But while Jacobs left New York City in 1969, the urban conversation she stimulated lived on. To demonstrate the power of her ideas, Bell walked over to the High Line, the 22-block former railroad track. In a pre-Jacobs world, he said, the line would have been torn down. Now it's becoming a boulevard, a park, a series of cultural attractions, an economic stimulus to the far west side of Manhattan.
This is literally spitting distance. I mean, someone who's standing up there, you could shout up to and talk down to almost as if they were on the third or fourth floor of a village brownstone.
The High Line embodies several Jacobsian ideas, Bill said. It breaks up long blocks. It connects communities. It enlivens dead space. It imaginatively takes an old structure and gives it a new life. And it's a product of what local communities want, not the idea of an anonymous planner. And yet, whether Jacob's philosophy really rules has been the subject of hot debate on the blogs this week. They say big projects like the Atlantic Yards project in Brooklyn represent just the kind of top-down planning Jacobs railed against. As workers tear down an old warehouse that developer Forest City Ratner says was unsafe, architect Jonathan Cohn, author of the blog Brooklyn Views, says Jacobs would have liked the idea of capping the rail yards, reclaiming that land for urban life.
The issue really is, how do you tie it in to the existing neighborhood?
Cohn is particularly upset about plans to close off one block of Pacific Street, a miles-long Brooklyn Avenue. That would close the current street grid and create a super block. It would become a park ringed by high-rise towers.
Vehicular access to the street is part of what makes the street. I think if we look at examples where they've stopped vehicles from using the street, they really don't function in the same way that a real street functions.
Project proponents say there are marked differences between this and the modernist projects of the 1950s and 60s. They say the Atlantic Yards design includes many types of buildings, and particular attention is being paid to how the project would be experienced at street level. That this debate is even going on, says Andrew Winters, a planner for the City of New York, is Jacobs' lasting legacy.
The important thing about Jane Jacobs is that she raised the other side of it. Up until her, there really was only one side to the issue.
Cacophony is symphony. That's an idea Jacobs would have liked. For WNYC, I'm Andrea Bernstein.